In a colorful cartoon town, a big-nosed man walks up to us through falling snowflakes.
I suppose it all started with the snow. You see, it was a very special kind of snow. A snow to make the happy happier and the giddy even giddier. A snow to make a homecoming homier and natural enemies friends.
A dog helps a mailman.
For it was the first snow of the season. And as any child can tell you, there's a certain magic to the very first snow. Especially when it falls on the day before Christmas. For when the first snow is also a Christmas snow, well, something wonderful is bound to happen.
Inside a classroom, children sketch Christmas trees with their fingers on foggy windows. A teacher taps a ruler on her desk.
Children, back to your seats. The snow can wait. Now. I've hired Professor Hinkle, the magician, to entertain at today's class Christmas party. So pay attention.
Now, Professor Hinkle was just about the worst magician in the world.
The brown mustached Hinkle tips his top hat. Cards and tricks tumble out. He quickly picks them up, then holds out an egg.
And so, I put the magic eggs into my hat. Abracadabra, to coin the phrase. And voila, the eggs have turned into...
Eggs fall out of his hat and splatter onto the floor.
Missy.
He wipes them up. The kids frown and shake their heads.
Where is that rabbit? Hocus pocus, where are you? Bah! The only thing this hat's good for is the trash can.
He flings it toward a garbage can. The top hat ricochets off, bouncing onto the floor, and a pink-eared rabbit pops out. The hat flops down over him, and the bunny leaps into the air, springing off Hinkle's head. The kids stampede past Hinkle.
You dessert, Hinkle, but ouch! For some stupid, ow, frozen water.
They run outside to a schoolyard covered with super white snow. Two boys roll a giant snowball up to a cute blonde girl.
We're building a snowman, Karen. You make the head.
The head is the most difficult part. Ask anyone.
What will we call him?
Yeah, shall we call him Harold?
Bruce?
Nah.
What the fuck, Kawabe?
Oh, no. Oatmeal?
Oatmeal?
How about Frosty?
Frosty?
Yeah, Frosty it is. Frosty the Snowman.
Holding hands, they dance around him.
Frosty the Snowman, what a happy, jolly soul. With a corncob pipe and a button nose and two eyes made out of coal.
Hocus Pocus the Rabbit hops out in Hinkle's top hat.
Come back here, you.
The rabbit bounds across the yard. As Hinkle grabs his leg, the hat sails off, soaring into Karen's hands. She places it on top of Frosty's head.
Happy birthday!
Everyone gapes.
That hat brought Frosty to life. It must be magic.
Magic? My hat magic?
Just look.
Wind knocks it off.
If that hat is magic, I want it back.
But it's not yours anymore. You threw it away.
Don't talk back to your elders, you naughty, naughty little girl. And you, stay in there, or there'll be no carrots for Christmas.
But you can't take that hat back. It brought Frosty to life. You saw it happen.
I saw nothing of the kind.
The bunny scolds him.
Quiet. I can't lose that hat if it's really got magic now. It'll make me a millionaire magician.
But we saw Frosty come to life, didn't we?
Uh-huh. Oh, we sure did.
You silly children believe everything you see. When you're grown up, you'll realize that snowman can't come to life.
But we...
Silly.
Hinkle puts the hat on and walks away.
Oh, Frosty, we don't care what grown-ups say. We know you did come to life. We know, Frosty. We just know.
Frosty the Snowman.
You are listening to video description on the SAP channel. This service is primarily intended for viewers who are blind or visually impaired. To return to regular program audio, turn off the SAP feature on your TV or VCR. This program has been described by the Media Access Group at WGBH with funding from CBS. Described by Lisa Benjamin, read by Kim I. Guest. Now the cartoon Jimmy Durante watches Hinkle pass by.
Now, of course, the hat did belong to Frosty and the children. That point must be made very clear. Therefore, Hocus Pocus was entirely in the right in what he was about to do.
The bunny jumps with the hat off Hinkle's head. The gray top hat with a black band and pink flower springs past a traffic cop.
Well, Hocus Pocus raced back to the children just as fast as he could.
He zooms up to the kids who sadly stare at Frosty. Hocus pops out of the hat and sticks his paw into his mouth.
Look, the hat's back. Let's see if it'll make Frosty alive again.
She pulls it off the rabbit and places it on Frosty's head. The snowman's coal eyes turn into real ones.
Happy birthday! Hey, I said my first words. But snowmen can't talk. All right, come on now. What's the joke? Could I really be alive? I mean, I can make words. I can move. I can juggle. I can sweep. I can count to 10. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 9, 6, 8. Well, I can count to 5. What do you know? I'm even ticklish. In fact, I'm all living. I am alive. What a neat thing to happen to a nice guy like me.
There must have been some magic in that old silk hat they found. Oh, when they placed it on his head, he began to dance around.
Frosty the Snowman was alive as he could be. And the children say he could laugh and play just the same as you and me.
Suddenly, water dribbles off his round white body.
Uh-oh.
What's the matter, Frosty?
Whew. Is there a thermometer around here?
Over there in the wall. Why?
Red mercury rises inside the thermometer.
Oh, I was afraid of that. The thermometer's getting red. I hate red thermometers.
Why, Frosty?
Because when the thermometer gets all reddish, the temperature goes up. And when the temperature goes up, I start to melt. And when I start to melt, I get all wishy-washy.
Then you've got to go someplace where you'll never melt.
The only place I'd never melt is the North Pole.
Then we've got to get you there.
Yeah, we'll take you downtown to the railroad station and put you on a train.
Great. I always wanted to see the town. Let's make a party out of it. Let's have a parade.
The kids line up behind Frosty as he marches forward. Swinging a broom, Frosty leads the kids and the rabbit into town. A man carrying a load of presents gawks at them. He collides into another shopper, spilling gifts everywhere. A crazy jack-in-the-box pokes out of one of the packages. A barber spots the snowman through a window and accidentally snips off half a customer's mustache.
Down to the village with a broomstick.
A woman sees them in a mirror. Her hair stands straight up and she faints.
All around the square, saying, catch me if you can.
Come on, kids. Follow the leader.
They leapfrog over him.
Didn't you see that traffic light?
What's a traffic light?
Up there on the lamppost.
What's a lamppost?
Oh, you want it ticket-wise, guy?
I'd love one. To the North Pole, please.
Huh?
You've got to excuse him, sir. You see, he just came to life, and he doesn't know much about such things.
Oh, well, okay, if he just came to life. Move along! That silly snowman. Once they come to life, they don't know nothing. Come to life?
His jaw drops open, causing him to swallow his whistle. Musical notes pour out of his mouth. On the outskirts of town, Frosty and the kids march in single file to a railroad station. Inside, a ticket seller snoozes, leaning back in his chair. His balding head of white hair matches his curly mustache. Frosty and Karen step up to the ticket window.
We'd like a ticket to the North Pole, please.
North Pole? Oh, yes, ma'am.
Fast as lightning, he sorts through stacks and stacks of tickets, shuffles and stamps them, attaches them together in a long strip, then carefully looks them over.
Rooter, by the way, Saskatchewan, Hudson Bay, Nome, Alaska, the Klondike and Aurora Borealis. Gotta make a change at Nanook of the North. That'll be $3,004, including tax.
Oh, but we don't have any money.
No money!
He bangs the counter, the tickets still open, winding around him.
No money, no ticket.
He shuts the window.
Now I'll never get to the North Pole.
Oh, Frosty, you just can't melt.
Oh, Karen, don't you get all slushy, too.
Hocus Pocus bounces over and tugs on Karen's scarf.
What is it, Hocus? Out the window?
He points to a train.
A refrigerated boxcar. On a train headed north. You'll be safe there, Frosty. Come on.
They all walk to the car, slide open the door, and peek in.
It's full of ice cream and frozen Christmas cakes.
What a neat way to travel.
Steam blows out of the train whistle. Karen pushes Frosty into the train.
Hurry up, Frosty. The train is pulling out.
He climbs in.
Are you coming to the North Pole, too?
I'm sure my mother won't mind. As long as I'm home in time for supper.
Hocus follows her on board. The locomotive starts to move out, its wheels churning. Beside the tracks, the other kids wave goodbye as the boxcar pulls away.
Frosty the snowman had a hurry on his way, but he waved goodbye.
Tinkle runs after the train and jumps on, lying beneath the caboose.
I must get that hat back. Think nasty, think nasty, think nasty.
He'll be back again someday.
Later, the freight train drives through a snowstorm.
Now, actually, a refrigerated boxcar is a splendid way to travel. Splendid, that is, if one is a snowman or a furry-coated rabbit. But for Karen...
She shivers.
Are you cold, Karen? Now, that's a silly question. You wouldn't be sneezing if you weren't cold.
Well, just a little...
Frosty realized that Karen had to get out of that car as soon as possible. So when the little freight train stopped to let an express full of happy Christmas travelers pass, Frosty took advantage of the opportunity and quickly got them all out.
The freight train pulls away, taking Hinkle with it.
Oh, you tricked me! No fair!
The only thing Professor Hinkle could do was make a jump for us.
Leaping off, he tumbles down a mountain and crashes into a tree. Icicles and a huge pile of snow plop down on him. A squirrel comes over and laughs. You are listening to video description on the SAP channel. To return to regular program audio, turn off the SAP feature on your TV or VCR.
Frosty wanted to get as far away as he could before Hinkle woke up.
With Hocus at his side, Frosty carries Karen over a hill. Shivering, the rabbit hugs himself tightly.
But the woods through which they traveled was still bitterly cold.
Hocus, I've got to get Karen all warmed up, or she's a goner.
Hocus pretends to light a fire.
But I can't make a fire. Oh, boy. That's one thing I really can't do. Guess we just better keep moving till we find someone who can.
Then suddenly they came upon a tiny glen, which seemed almost magical. For it was Christmas Eve, and the woodland animals were all decorating for their big celebration. They knew Santa was to come that night, and they wanted everything to be just right.
Hocus, speak to the animals. See if they won't all pitch in and build a fire for Karen.
Hopping over, Hocus circles his arms and pretends to shiver like Karen. Then he pretends to rub two sticks together and blow on a fire. A deer, a skunk, and a chipmunk all nod.
The animals were delighted to help. So they found a spot away from the glen where the fire wouldn't catch on to the tree. Soon there was a spark, and in almost no time, a splendid fire was crackling away.
As Karen warms herself, the firelight throws a bright glow onto her face. Frosty watches from a different hilltop.
Frosty was careful to stay far away from the flames.
Hocus bounds over to him.
Hocus, we've got to find someone to help Karen get home before she freezes. And me to the North Pole before I melt. But who?
Hocus pretends to be a soldier.
No, not the Marines.
The bunny mimes waving to a crowd.
No, not the President of the United States. Oh, they were both swell ideas, but we've got to find someone nearby.
Hocus piles handfuls of snow onto his face, making a white beard.
Yeah, Santa Claus. That's a great idea. Why didn't I think of that before?
The rabbit taps his foot and scowls.
Hocus, you go back with the animals. And when Santa comes, you bring him right here. Understand?
Hocus nods.
Hurry now!
The bunny hops off. Nighttime. A full moon shines over the hills near a twinkling star.
And so Frosty kept a silent vigil, waiting patiently all through the night until Santa would arrive. But suddenly,
Hinkle appears.
Oh, a campfire! Well, isn't that all snug and comfy?
He blows the fire out.
No, don't!
Now, give me that hat or else.
Or else what?
Well, don't bother me with details. Give me that hat.
Get on my shoulders, Karen.
You see, Frosty, since he was made of snow himself, was the fastest belly whopper in the world.
Frosty slides down the hill with Karen on his back. Hinkle runs after them but trails behind.
And old Professor Hinkle was soon far out distant.
A little later, they stop near a cottage with a glass greenhouse.
And now it was Frosty's good fortune that right at the bottom of the hill was a tiny greenhouse used to grow precious tropical poinsettias for Christmas.
It's got to be all warm and snug inside for those Christmas flowers to grow so beautiful. Let's go in.
Oh, but you will melt.
Just a little. I'll only stay inside for a minute. Besides, I've been meaning to take off a little weight anyway.
He carries her inside.
Phew. Staying here much longer and I'll really make a splash in the world.
Hinkle sneaks up to the greenhouse, huffing and puffing. He slams the door shut.
Now I've got you! And the minute you're all melted, the hat will be mine!
Santa's sleigh soars through the sky and lands.
Santa had arrived, but was he too late?
Santa, with a white beard and red suit, approaches Hocus, who signals with his paws.
Hocus explained the situation to Santa, who, as you know, speaks a fluent rabbit. And when they didn't find Frosty and Karen on the hill, Santa followed Frosty's pad in the snow to the greenhouse. But when they got inside, a terrible sight met their eyes.
Santa and Hocus stop in their tracks, staring in shock. Karen kneels beside a puddle on the floor. Frosty's top hat and corncob pipe lie in the still water. Karen's hands cover her face as she cries. A tear drops into the water, making ripples.
Frosty, the snowman, was a happy, jolly soul. With a corncob pipe and a button nose.
Karen remembers Frosty juggling snowballs, marching the kids into town, and playing leapfrog.
Out of cold. They were too late.
Too late? Why, nonsense. Oh, don't cry, Karen. Frosty's not gone for good. You see, he was made out of Christmas snow. And Christmas snow can never disappear completely. Oh, it sometimes goes away for almost a year at a time and takes the form of spring and summer rain. But you can bet your boots that when a good, jolly December wind kisses it, it'll turn into Christmas snow all over again.
Yes, but he was my friend.
Just watch.
Santa opens the door. Wind rushes in, whips the puddle outside, and forms a snowman. Frosty's eyes, nose, and pipe reattach themselves. Hocus bounces out in the top hat.
Wait a minute. I want that hat, and I want it now.
Don't you dare touch that.
And just what are you going to do about it?
If you so much as lay a finger on the brim, I'll never bring you another Christmas present as long as you live.
Never?
Never.
No more trick cards or magic balls or...
No more anything.
Oh, that's not fair. I mean, we evil magicians have to make a living too.
Now you go home and write, "I am very sorry for what I did to Frosty," 100 zillion times. And then maybe, just maybe, mind you, you'll find something in your stocking tomorrow morning.
A new hat, maybe? Oh, yes, sir. Goodbye, everyone. Sorry to lose and run, but I've got to get busy writing. Busy, busy, busy.
He runs off.
Come on, Frosty. We're all waiting for you.
Santa puts the hat on the snowman's head.
Happy birthday!
Frosty the Snowman is a fairy tale, they say. He was made of snow, but the children know how he came to life one day.
Later, they all ride in Santa's sleigh.
And so Santa took Karen home and made ready to bring Frosty back to the North Pole again.
Karen hugs Frosty goodbye.
Oh.
Karen hated to say goodbye to Frosty. But as Santa promised, Frosty returned every year with the magical Christmas snow. And every year there was a great celebration with a big Christmas parade.
Frosty struts through town with the whole gang.
Thumpity, thump, thump, thumpity, thump, thump.
Look at that Frosty go.
Thumpity, thump.
Over the hills of snow, Frosty the Snowman was a jolly, happy soul. With a corncob pipe and a button nose and two eyes made out of coal.
And with Frosty the Snowman, Christmas was always very merry indeed. You have a merry Christmas too.
Frosty the Snowman had to hurry on his way.
But he waved goodbye, saying, "Don't you cry.
I'll be back on Christmas Day."
Frosty waves from Santa's sleigh as it flies off into the snowy night.